Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. This week, I am going to be speaking to you about a divination technique that I use from time to time and that I find quite helpful. And I am sure all of you who are listening know how to do this. You've done this, or if not, you can do this definitely by the end of this episode. This episode is probably going to be very, very short because there's not a lot to say about this specific divination technique, but I had a few ideas on the side that I thought would kind of not improve it, but make it a little bit more interesting. So on this show, we've discussed several different tools for divination that, you know, really are used to help you find some sort of understanding and answers to some of the lingering questions that you have. This week, I'm going to be discussing bibliomancy. Sometimes you'll see it referred to as libromancy, or I think it's also stichomancy. But simply put, bibliomancy, it's a form of divination whereby a seeker, yourself, selects a book, usually some sort of sacred text, and asks a question from spirit, and then randomly selects a page from the book for the answer. Very, very simple, right? This is actually a very ancient method of divination, and it dates back to as early as the 2nd BC with Jewish scholars using the Torah. It's also been used in Chinese culture with the I Ching. Now, in ancient times, the works of Homer, being the Iliad and the Odyssey, and the works of Virgil, I think one of them is the Aeneid in particular, it was used in medieval Europe quite often. It was super, super common. However, the Bible, as we're all aware, it was the most popular text, and it was the most popular text for divination. In addition, the Quran, the Mahabharata, these were used as well. Very, very common for bibliomancy. In the Middle East in particular, bibliomancy, which was called Falnama, it was conducted with many poetic works, specifically the works of Hafiz. And if you've never read any poetry by Hafiz, I completely recommend it. It's very beautiful. But it was also used with the Quran as well. There are numerous reports indicating that Quranic bibliomancy was quite popular in the Middle Ages. There are even print editions of the Quran with Falnama information added to every page, which usually consisted of someone adding a word such as good, bad, or in between, for example, to indicate the meaning of that page if it were to be selected during Falnama or during bibliomancy. So during that time in particular, there were specialized copies of the Quran to aid with this form of divination. There were even books made specifically just for the practice of Falnama. There is textual evidence that these kinds of books had existed for a long time, but only a few fragments and even fewer complete copies remain today. From the evidence that we have of these kinds of books, they were often illustrated with a verse that was included to help explain the significance to be read in selecting these particular passages. These kinds of texts, they appear mostly positive in their readings, but with the pages that provide advice on fortitude in the face of predicted calamities. All of this to say that bibliomancy was very common in the ancient world. In the 5th century, it was actually banned in Brittany and France. Now, if we kind of move stateside, in the 18th century, in Pennsylvania, there were two radical pietists. One of them was named Christopher Sauer, and the other one was Gerhard Terstegen. And they actually created a deck of cards which were used as a form of bibliomancy. They created very small cards, and each one had a short Bible verse written in German and with four lines of poetry written underneath. It's likely that these cards were used in bibliomancy, allowing them to receive answers that were guided by the Spirit of God. Now, these men in particular were said to have been mystic or mystic pietists, if you will. Pietists in general believed in biblical doctrine, individual piety, and living a strong Christian life. Above all, they believed in replacing ecclesiastical religious practice, that is, having a human intermediary between oneself and God, with personal experience of the divine. So very similar to the medieval mystics, these radical pietists saw their relationship with God as direct and intimate. By creating these small, carefully written cards, these two individuals were essentially following the tenets of their faith. And the cards themselves were supposed to be a direct interaction with the divine, with no intercession needed. So very similar to oracle cards, right, today. these Germans know what they were doing back in the 18th century. Anyway, again, as I said at the outset, this is quite simple. Now, I've read from some articles that you have to be pure before you do this type of divination. Perhaps you don't eat meat on the day of. You bathe yourself, you cleanse yourself before doing this. I've read all types of ritualistic work before doing bibliomancy, and you know, if that's your preference, you can definitely do it. But let's talk about the practical methodology here. Now, as I stated earlier, the most common book that has been used for bibliomancy, besides the works of Homer, which actually almost supersedes the Bible, is the Bible. And the Bible, it served as an important instrument of magical divination, particularly during the medieval and Reformation times in Britain and even parts of Europe. It was believed that the Bible, opened up at random, would reveal one's fortunes or answer someone's questions. It was even believed that laying a Bible on a child's head would induce sleep back in medieval times. Reading from the Bible. Also, if you read from the Bible to a pregnant woman, it would supposedly give her a safe delivery. So all of these superstitions about the Bible, or at least beliefs. Now, with bibliomancy in particular, you can use the Bible if that's your preference. No judgment. It's all your decision. But similar to, let's say, tarot or oracle cards, forming a bond or connection with your book is super important if you want accurate readings. The best books for bibliomancy, they're going to be the ones that you genuinely like and ones that you've read multiple times, ones that you've already established a connection with. It's really through that act of experiencing a book that a connection gets formed. So what books can you use if you don't decide to use, or if you decide not to use the Bible? You can use the Iliad, you can use the Odyssey. Many people, believe it or not, use the Harry Potter series, which I completely understand why. Some people use the Mists of Avalon, Alice in Wonderland, because there's a lot of knowledge in that book. The Upanishads, the Quran, poems by Hafiz, anything by Rumi, any type of book that you feel has a lot of wisdom contained within it or a connection to the story. I would even add anything by Paulo Coelho because I love his work, right? So how does this work? Let's say you found your text. You're good to go. Your intuition essentially guided you to what you're going to use. So once you have that book, close your eyes and then concentrate on the question that you have. You can ask your intuition to help you select a page. You can ask your spirit guide, higher self, I don't really care who it is, to kind of guide you, to help you answer, or at least get some guidance on the question. And then when you're ready, open the book at random. Now, the first words that you read should really be the guidance that you're seeking, right? Or if you feel comfortable doing it this way, you can open the book with your eyes closed and then use your finger and point to a specific passage, not specific because you don't know what it is, but point to the passage, and then open your eyes and read it. Very easy stuff. I do think you should try it if you never have done it. I insist actually that you try it. You'll find it super helpful and insightful. So here is the question. Why bibliomancy? Yes, it's an extremely ancient form of divination. But today we have tarot cards in mass abundance. We have oracle cards everywhere. Those are like probably the two most popular divination techniques or tools that we have today. We have runes, tea leaves. We have all kinds of things under the sun, the I Ching. Why bibliomancy? Well, the reason to consider adding this to your divination repertoire is because when you select a passage, it gives you so many details. It's very thorough, and these answers can be very helpful. They're extremely elaborate, right? So they can, you know, not just give you that information, they can enhance. Let's say you're already doing a reading using oracle cards and tarot, and then at the very end, you randomly select a page. It can add more insight into that reading. It can make it more of a comprehensive reading. Whether you're doing this for yourself or if you're reading another person, if you're going to be utilizing this as a part of your practice, then consider maybe a text not so limited, if that makes sense. Maybe a thorough, maybe the Iliad or the Odyssey might be a good idea, but again, it's really up to you. Maybe some sort of sacred text that could be useful to answer and address all types of questions and situations. Okay, so I also wanted to speak to you about something called group bibliomancy. I think I've only seen this done once a long time ago, probably in some scary movie. I've never seen it in person, but I want to discuss this with you because I think this would be a really great exercise for you to try with your family or group of friends. I only say family if your family's open to this type of stuff. If not, then a group of friends, a meetup, or whomever. So, group bibliomancy, very similar to individual bibliomancy. But here's, I thought of like two ways this could really work. So the first way is to have your circle, 3, 4, 5 people, however many people you want, and then you need to designate somebody as the host. Now, with this host and with the group of people, everybody has opted and agreed upon one text that will answer all the questions in the circle. So only one text, not one text per person, but one text that the host is going to have in their hands. Now, each person in the circle, they're going to have a chance to ask a question. And then the host is going to pick a page at random to provide an answer to that person. And then you do that for the entire group. Whether you're the host or not, the host will essentially do that. Now, the other way, which is, it's not more complicated. It's just, you know, if your group is huge, it's going to take a long time, but that's okay. It's probably super helpful. So another way is to have each person in the circle bring their own text. Each person in the circle will have a chance to ask the circle a question, and then everyone will randomly open up their text. And then once they've selected that passage, they can share the guidance with the entire group. I think this is a really great idea to try and see how it works with your friends, especially if your friends all gravitate towards their own very specific type of text, and see how that translates to guidance to help everybody out, to find answers and to kind of get some support through whatever it is that they're going through. Now, the one thing I do say, or I need to say here, is that before you flip to the page, really do ask your guide, your team, whoever it is, your angels, your higher self, I don't know. Ask them to help you. Before you slam your finger down on the page or before you open that book, ask them to help bring you, you know, the wisest guidance, the most helpful guidance for you to either shift your perspective, to have better understanding, to give you some purposeful direction, or to provide guidance that's going to help the person who's asking for that guidance. So don't go through it so fast. Don't rush. Take your time. And when you feel ready, select the passage and then read the passage. Anyway, you guys, I knew this was going to be a super, super short episode today, but I don't know why bibliomancy has been on my mind for so much and I feel pushed to talk about it. So I was a little bit hesitant, but I did want to share this because I think it would be helpful if you did this in a group setting, did it with friends, or even did it, you know, on an individual basis in the morning, whenever you're struggling. Like I said, you can use all different types of texts here. I've used in the past, and I guess I'll share this one little story before I finish. Some years back, I was in a serious relationship, and there was this friend of my ex-boyfriend, and she always was not nice to me, let's just put it like that. And she was coming over for a party that we were hosting, and I was very nervous about it. And at that point in my life, I was trying to really be forgiving. And I had a text in particular, and I prayed about it. And when I opened up the page at that time, it was all about accepting people and forgiving people and loving them, etc. And I was like, yeah, right. And I slammed the book. No, I was kind and forgiving. So yes, I've used bibliomancy here and there, and lately I've kind of gravitated a lot more towards it to help me and to provide more support and insight into my readings for myself. But I am being encouraged to kind of use it with other sacred texts or texts that I value a lot to provide more understanding to other people who come, you know, get readings from me, etc. Anyway, I am dragging this out, this very short episode. You guys, I really hope that this is super helpful. And if you do try this method, especially in a group setting, please reach out to me and let me know how it goes. I am insanely curious to see what text you guys chose, but also how you were able to translate it into some form of very helpful guidance for your friends or whomever it is that you're reading for. Everybody, please have a great weekend. I hope you guys have a 3-day weekend. If not, please stay safe, have a great weekend, and relax, and thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.